Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Zayin. We are holding on daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, about 8 lines from the end of the page, on daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom, Vesham Shavan Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So today what we're first going to discuss is how to understand the Chiddush that when someone takes a Shavuos Shav, he's no longer trusted on a Shavuos Daraisa. We already said if someone did a Shavuos Haedu, Shavuos HaPikadon, he's no longer trusted on a Shavuos Daraisa. What's the additional Chiddush of a Shavuos Shav, that a person is no longer trusted for a Shavuos Daraisa, and therefore the other party is going to be Nishba Vinotel? The Gemara is then going to discuss the Machlokas about the case of Shnein Chashudin ala Shavuah, where Chazra Shavuah Limakoma, where the Halacha is that the Shavuah, well, where there's a machlokas, whether chazru shvuah lemakoma or yachlokus. So we're going to explain who holds what in that machlokas. We have certainly one version in our Mishnah of who holds what, but we'll see if that is the correct version. And then we're also going to paskin one way or the other when both are chashud on a shvuah, what the halacha is in that case. And that conversation is going to take us through most of Amud Aleph. And then the Amud Beis, we're going to, at the end of that conversation, we're going to introduce someone by the name of Shimon ben Tarfon. He's going to appear in a Braisa, Shimon ben Tarfon, not the most common name that you find in all of Shas, Shimon ben Tarfon. So once we mention him, we're going to say three Agadita teachings that Shimon ben Tarfon had. I'm not sure where else he appears, so we mention all the three things that he happened. One happens to relate to the Meraglim, so that's a great Tafyomi coincidence for Parsha Shlach. So, and then the Gemara is going to explain why they were Mesakei Neshavua for Chen V'Niyal Pinkasa. We're going to go back to that discussion of Chen V'Niyal Pinkasa, and then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a Machlokas HaMorayim about Shtei Kitei Edim HaMachishos Zo Ezo. That what happens when you have two sets of witnesses that contradict one another, we do not know which one is lying, but one of them is definitely lying. Who can we trust for future Eduyos? How do we handle this group of people for future Eduyos? When we don't have any evidence that either one in particular is lying, but one group is definitely lying. So let's begin. We're at the two dots on daf memvav ambeis v'shekenegdo chashud and v'afilu shvo shav. So we had said shekenegdo chashud shvo keitzad. So we said whether it's shvo seidus that they're chashud, whether it's shvo sepikadon, and even if it's shvo shav, my afilu shvo shav. Why is there a chiddush being chashud and shvo shav more so than Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos HaPikadon, that we use the term afilu? So lo mi baya ka'amar. What the Tan is trying to say is like an ein tzarech lomar. Lo mi baya hanach disbu kfiras mamon. You don't even need to tell me if a guy violated Shavuos Sheker related to Eidus and related to Pikadon, where he's being kofar in someone else's money, because he's you're certainly going to say he's possible to take a Shavuos going forward. And if he's chayiv a Shavuos, then the other guy is going to be nishba v'no, because he cannot take a shvuah to be niftar, so the other party is going to be nishba v'notel, because this guy is huchsak, that he's not worried about misappropriating funds through a shvuah. Ela afilu hanami, but the chiddush is, even if all a guy violated with shvuah shav, tikfiras dvarim bialmuhu, where he didn't cause anyone a loss of money through his shvuah, he's just doing an aveira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by taking a shvuah shav, still lo mehemin, he's still not neman with the shvuah, even when there's money at stake. I mean, as far as we know, this guy's an honest guy. He's not the most religious guy, but he's an honest guy. But still, since he took a shvuah shav, he's not going to be able to be trusted in the future, even about shvuahs that relate to someone else's money. So ask the Gemara, if shvuah l'sheker without any kfiras mamon will passel a person for any sort of shvuah in the future, well then, v'lisni nami shvuahs bitui. Why don't we say that someone who's chashran shvuahs bitui can no longer take a shvuah? Shavua? Why do we only mention Shavua Shav? I mean, you might as well go for it. Tell me anyone who violated anything Shavua related is not going to be Naman on any Shavua in the future. So says Marano, Kikatari Shavua Dechi Kamishtava B'Shikra Kamishtava. We're only mentioning, and it only actually passes him, if he took a Shavua that at the very moment that he took the Shavua, he was lying. Avul Shavua's Bitoi, Dikla Meimer Debekushta Kamishtava Lo Katani. But a Shavua's Bitoi is, a guy takes a Shavua that he's going to do X. He's going to run a marathon. He's going to lose 20 pounds. At the time that he says it, he believes it. Belev shalem. He thinks that that's what he's going to do. Elamai, he doesn't have the discipline to follow through. But at the time that he said it, he wasn't lying. If you were to ask him, if you were to give him truth serum, he would still say the same thing. He really plans on doing it. So that's not written in the Mishnah because we're not going to assume that such a person would lie under oath to be motzi mamon from someone else. So says the Gemara, okay, that's one type of shvuas bitui when it's a commitment about the future. And I'll grant you that when someone takes a shvua committing about the future and it turns out that he never followed through and he never did it, that he really was telling the truth based on his understanding of what the future would be. But that's not every type of shvuas bitui. Tenach ochel velo ochel. That works well if the shvua is about the future. I will eat. I won't eat. But what if achalti velo achalti ma'ikal meimar? What if his shvuas bitui was about the past? What if a person he never violated shvuas shav, he never violated shvuas apikadon shvuas edus, he violated shvuas bitui, but it was a past tense shvuas bitui? How come the Mishnah leaves that out? After all, that's a shvuas sheker, and therefore we should pass him the shvuah just like a shvuas shav is nifsal from a shvuah going forward. So says Gemara, Tana shvuas shav, we're called the dami lei. When it says shvuas shav, it means anything that's within that basic category. So a shvuas sheker about what has happened in the past is just another type of shvuas shav, and therefore it is covered in the Mishnah. So shvuas bitoy about the future, if someone violates shvuas bitoy about the future, he's taka not chashar al shvua. A shvuas bitoy about the past, the Mishnah mentions it. So therefore it's already covered, and he's going to be possible going forward. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Hayachan man misachik bekuvia, that we said if one of them are possible, for example, if one of them is a Mesachik Bekuvia, so then Shekenegdo is Nishba Venotel. The other, the Mesachik Bekuvia can't take a Shavua, so the other party will take a Shavua and will collect the money. So, Frakting Gemara, Hasul Amali, why does the Mishnah have to give examples of people who are apostle to take a Shavua? We already said, if a guy was Nishba L'Sheker once, he's Chashar L'Shavua, so I know what Psulim look like. You don't have to give me every example of someone who's apostle. Now, even though in the ratio we're talking about someone who is Nishba L'Sheker, and because of that, he's chashed to take another Shavua because he might lie, and a Gazlan is only chashed on Gzelas Mamon, so L'Chorah, that is an additional Chiddush. I mean, he's not chashed on swearing falsely, he's only chashed on Mamon, that even on Chashad Mamon, the additional Chiddush is that even when we're chashed you on Mamon, we also assume you're going to swear to it, but nevertheless, it's a psul shvua minat Torah. So the Gemara is assuming that it would have been evident. We would have figured that out. Why does it have to mention Mesachik Bekuvia? So says the Gemara, no, it's not a psul shvua minat Torah. Tana psul daraisa v'katani psul drabanan. That the Tana first has to give me an example of someone who's psul shvua minat Torah, meaning someone who's nishba l'sheker, and then it wants to give me an example of a Mesachik Bekuvia who's only a gazlon midrabanan to tell me that even he is not allowed to take a shvua, and therefore shekenegdo nishba venotel. The halach is going to be that the other party is nishba venotel. So Mesach Bekuvia is a gambler. So Rashi writes on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and also elsewhere in Shas, that which he's not pasul min haTorah is because the Torah only pasuls a gazlan who forcefully takes somebody else's money, meaning against the will of the other party. So it sounds like he holds that really the MS asmachta is lo kanya, that a gambler who wins money, he's not actually kona the money min haTorah, and it is stolen money. But the way that money changes hands looks like the other party is doing it willingly. So even though it is considered stealing min haTorah, but since it is given, being handed over willingly, so that's why it's only a psul shvua min midrabana, not a psul shvua min haTorah. However, the Mordechai in Maseches Baba Kama writes that the Ikar HaDin is that Asmachta is low, that the Ikar HaDin midoraisa is Asmachta Kanya. The idea that Asmachta lo Kanya is only a din midrabanan. So on a daraisa level, it would not be considered to be Gezel. Now, the fact that Rashi writes that the reason he's puzzled is because Asmachta is Asmachta lo Kanya, that's like the sheet of Rami Bar Chama and Maseches Sanhedrin. There is another sheet of Maseches Sanhedrin, that of Rav Sheshes, that the reason Masachik Bukuvia is Pasul Eidus is not because it is Gezel, but it's because Eino Osik Bi Yeshuvo Shel Olam. And Tosus writes that that's what we really paskin like, that it's not a chisaron of Asmachta when it comes to gambling. Really, the issue is Eino Osik Bi Yeshuvo Shel Olam. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Hayushnein Chashudin. Let's say both of them were Chashur al Shvua, so we had a machlokas in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi said, Chazur Shvul de Makoma, and Rabbi Meir said, Yachloku. So we're going to have a number of issues. We know what Yachloku means. What does Chazra Shvul de Makoma mean? And who do we paskin like? And also, who said what? Are we sure that Rabbi Yossi is the one that said Chazra Shvul de Makoma? And Rabbi Meir says Yachloku. So the Gemara is now going to deal with all of those things. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Hechitran. First of all, let's get the text correct. Is Rabbi Yossi the one that said Yachloku? Or is Rabbi Meir the one that said Yachloku? Apparently, there were alternate texts floating around, and they wanted to know which is the most accurate text. So Amalei Lo Yadan. Rav Nachman says, I don't know. So Hilchus Amai says, okay, you don't know who said what. How do we paskin, though? Do we paskin Yachloku, or do we paskin Chazru Shvul Makoma? Which is a funny thing to ask, because we haven't yet asked what it means, Chazru Shvul Makoma. So we don't even know what the words mean, and we're already asking, how do we paskin on it? So anyway, Amalei Lo Yadan. He says, I don't know. Itmar, Amar Rav Yossi Parmin Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. The Rav Nachman says the correct girsa is Rabbi Yossi is the one that says Yachloku. V'chein Tani Rav Zid Bar Oshia, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. Meaning in our Mishnah, that was not that way. It was Rameir that said Yachloku, it was Rabbi Yossi who said Chazur Shvul Makoma. So we have all of these people telling us, no, our Mishnah is incorrect. Rabbi Yossi is the one that says Yachloku. Igada Amri, some say that Tani Rav Zid Omer Rabbi Yoshaya, Rabbi Yossi Amr Yachloku. That is Rav Zid Amr Rabbi Yoshaya who said that Rabbi Yossi Amr Yachloku. Amr Rav Yosef Parmin Yome, Ovid Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloku. And Rav Nachman Paskin Dalach Lemaisa in a Din Torah that he had. Rav Nachman was a famous Dayan, and both parties were Chashar al Shua, and he Paskin Yachloku, and therefore the Nitva had to pay half of the money. So Tosus points out in Dibra Maschil Hilchasa, Tosus points out, even though we had just said that Rav Nachman told Rava, I don't know who says Yachloku, I don't know how we paskin, I don't know any of this. That must have been an earlier Maisa. And then, I mean, that must have been an earlier doubt, and then Rav Nachman must have figured it out at a later point in time. And once he figured out that Rabbi Yossi is the one that says Yachloku, he decided that's how he wants to paskin, that halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, and therefore this the Gemara is demonstrating through this Maisa that even though initially when Amar Le Rava Rav Nachman, when Rava asked Rav Nachman this question, Rav Nachman didn't know the answer, eventually he got it. So eventually he came to a conclusion. Okay, so the Mishnah had said, so what do you do when they're both Chashal HaShvua? So we had the one opinion that says Yachloku, but the other opinion said Chazra Shvul de Makoma. Again, in the version we have of our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yossi who says Chazra Shvul de Makoma. In other versions, apparently it was Rabbi Meir who said Chazra Shvul de Makoma. But we don't even know what the words mean. What does it mean, Chazra Shvul de Makoma? Happens to be the Gemara doesn't explain the reason Rav Nachman paskening Yachloku, or why, assuming it's Rabbi Yossi holds Yachloku, why it would be Yachloku. Meaning, we're about to get into Chazru Shvul and Makoma and where that comes from, but we never really explain the opinion of Yachloku. So Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that the opinion that holds Yachloku assumes like the Shita of Rabbi Abba, who holds that Mechuyiv Shvua and Ein Yachli Shava Mitok Shein Yachli Shava Meshalim. That typically someone who's chayiv a shvua and is unable to take that shvua is just going to have to pay. So really, the nitva should have had to pay everything because he's chayiv a shvua d'oraisa and he's not able to take the shvua. Meaning, the nitva is a moda b'miksas. That's chayiv a shvua mid'oraisa. But he's suspect on a shvua. We cannot allow him to take a shvua. He's a ganav, he's whatever. He's not able to take that shvua. So really, he should have had to pay the whole amount. I, the toveya schay of a shvua drabanan, and he's not able to be nishpa either, but nevertheless, by shvua drabanan, we don't say that this klal, that someone who's not able to be nishpa, loses out. But nevertheless, since the reason that the toveya is not being nishpa over here is because he's also chashon al shvua, meaning really we would have flipped this shvua on the toveya. The reason we couldn't flip the shvua on the toveya is because he's also chashon al shvua. So they made a knas that since he's chashon, that he should lose out a little bit also. So he should lose out half as well. So it's based on the core principle is that of Rabbi Abba, that someone who's not, who's chayiv shvua is not able to take the shvua, just has to pay. And when you add in the fact that the other guy should be penalized somewhat for also being chashon al shvua, that's how we get to Yachloku. The Ritva says differently, that that Rav Nachman was mesupak in Machlokas Amorayim that we're going to have within the sheet of Rav Meir. When a person is not able to take a shvua that he's chayv to take, do we assume that he just has to pay or not? And misafek he paskins Yachloku, meaning that Yachloku is not an absolute. It's not that we had a mahalich in this is the most just thing to do is to say Yachloku. It's that we had no mahalich, so we were mesupak about what the right thing to do is, and when you're mesupak, so you land on Yachloku. Okay, so that's as far as Yachloku, but now the Gemara says, what about the other shita? Chazra shvua lemakomba. So what does that mean? Leheichan chazra, where's the shvua returning to? So Amar Rabbi Ami says it's actually machlokas amoraim. Rabbi Seinu shebebavel amru chazru shvua l'sinai. The Rabbi Seinu shebebavel say that it means this din goes back to the shvua of Har Sinai. What's the shvua of Har Sinai? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia klal Yisrael, that there's an isra of lo sigzal, and therefore someone who steals has to pay back. But Beis Din is not able to be matil shvua on anyone because both the nitva and the tovea are chashal on the shvua, so we can cannot be mechayiv the nitva to be mishalim anything because there's nowhere. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with it. Essentially, is what we're saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back. Is going to punish the person who steals from somebody else. But Beis Din sort of it's like a siluk. Beis Din is saying we just can't deal with this case because the only mechanism that we have to deal with this case is a shvua. We can't oppose a shvua over here, so we're done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that's it's sort of like a statement about the entire justice system from a Jewish point of view, meaning what separates our justice system from every other justice system in the world is that our justice system assumes that there is a God. So whatever we're unable to do, we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fix up. You know, we trust that whatever you know we do, we go to the human limitations, and once we hit human limitations, we say, right, that's why you have all these people that are a murderer is chayiv misa, but we're never actually, according to the Gemara Makos, we're never actually going to be able to kill the murderer, because how are you going to ever have with the Shnei Edim and Nasra and Stokadei Dibor and that, you know, it's going to be so difficult. So what, everyone's just going to get away with murder? So no, Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of things. That's what the Gemara said. Andrew said that someone who had murdered, so he's going to be walking under a ladder and someone else is going to fall on him. We assume Kodesh Baruch Hu will work it out. Kodesh Baruch Hu will make everything work out. So Chazru Shvul Mekoma means Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to punish the guy who, you know, it's not that the criminal is going to come out on top in life and he's going to win. It may be in this world, but in the next world, you know, it will all be evened out. Rabbi Seinu Sheberetz Yisrael Amru, Chazru Shvua L'mechuyiv Ba, that the Shvua goes back to be mutal on the Nitva who is Moda B'miktsas, meaning Mikra Adin, he's the one that's really Chayiv in the Shvua. So we put the whole onus on him. We say, look, you're Chayiv to take a Shvua. Oh, you can't take one? So then pay, because if you can't take a Shvua, then you got to pay. So Beis Din actually does paskin that the nitva has to pay. So what does chazru l'shvua l'makom mean? It definitely doesn't mean yachloku. It either means he gets off scot-free, or it means he has to pay the whole thing. Gets off scot-free means it goes back to Har Sinai, or he has to pay the whole thing, that it's chazru l'shvua l'makhuyiv la. So the Rav Papa explains, who are these Amorayim? We just called them Rabbi Seinu Shem Bavel, Rabbi Seinu Shem Yisrael. They're great rabbis in Bavel, they're great rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. Who are these great rabbis? Some Rav Papa, Rabbi Seinu Shem Bavel is Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Seinu Shem Yisrael is Rabbi Abba. So it says, Rabbi Seir Shem Bavel, Rabbi Shmuel, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Seir Shem Bavel is none other than Rav and Shmuel. And they're the ones that hold when both the Toveya and the Nitva are not able to take a Shmua, that Chazru Shmuel Har Sinai, and no one could collect anything. Ditnan, because we had a Mishnah Daf Memhei, V'chein HaYisom Lo Yivruel B'Shmua, that Yisomim cannot collect a Chov without a Shmua, V'avinun Ba, and we explained in the Mishnah Miman, who are the Yisomim coming to collect the Chov from, that the Mishnah says that they need to take a Shmua. Ilei Mami Lova, if they're coming to collect from the Lova himself, that this Lova owed money to these Yisomim's father, and they have a shtar, they found after their father died, there's a shtar that says that the Lova owed them money, that the Lova owed the father money, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that they have to take a Shavua, that they have no knowledge of this Chov having already been paid up. Well, Avun Shakal B'loshua Avinu B'Shavua, the father himself, if he were alive, he would collect from the Lova without a Shavua, right? The father himself, if he shows up to Bezin with a shtar, that's all he needs. He has a shtar, he can collect from the Lova. We're going to be more demanding on the Yisomim than we would have been on the guy himself. Now, the truth is, the Lova, if the father himself would have showed up with the shtar, if the father were still alive, the Malva were still alive, and he would show up with the shtar, the Lova could be Toveya, that the Malva should take a Shvua, that it's not Nifra, but without such a Tevia, the Malva would not have to swear. So the Yorshe HaLova, we're saying right now, even without any Tevia, would have to swear. And that's not right, that it's going to be that the Yisomim are going to be in a worse position than their father. So Ella Hachikamar. So what the Mishnah must mean to say is the following: V'chein Yisomin min Yisomin lo yuparu el b'shvua. If the Malva and the Lova are both dead, and the Yisomei Malva come to collect the Chov from the Yisomim of the Lova, they have to take a Shvua that their father never instructed them before he died, that the Malva never instructed his children before he died, that the Chov was already paid up. Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai and Rav Shmuel both say that this Meimra, this idea that the Yisomei HaMalva have to swear and only then can collect from the Yisomei HaLova is only if the Malva died first and then the Lova died. Avol Meis Lova B'chaye Malva, but if the Lova died first and then the Malva died, so then the Yorshe HaMalva are not able to collect anything from the Yorshe HaLova, because at the time that the Lova died, Kvar Nischayv Malva L'Bnei Lova Shvua, there was already a chiyuv shvua on the malva, because Allah is not allowed to be govim minichsei son mel b'shvua. So the second the lova died, the money now needs to be collected from Yisomim. Anytime you need to collect money from Yisomim, you're going to have to take a shvua. So if the malva was still alive when the lova died, right then the din is that the malva is chayiv to take a shvua. And ve'ina de morish shvua levanav, a malva cannot be morish the right to take a shvua and collect to his children, because the Yisomei malva are not able to take a shvua, the shvua that their father would have been able to take. Meaning the malva would have been able to take a shvua that this loan has not yet been paid, I know that for sure, and therefore I can collect from the Yisomim. His children cannot say that, they don't know if the loan has actually been paid or not, they have no first-hand knowledge of anything. And the Yisomei HaLova are not able to take a shvua that the Chov was Perua, because they certainly don't know that. So Rav and Shmuel hold, in such a case where neither party is able to take a shvua, the halacha is that the Yisomei HaMalva are not able to collect anything, that nobody's able to collect anything. Ah, that's exactly our case, right? Our case is Shneim Chashudin al Shvua, so neither party is able to take the Shvua. Chazra Shvua l'mekoma, Rav and Shmuel says, that means nobody gets paid anything. It's Chazra Shvua l'Sinai. So that's how I know that the Rav Seir Shem Bavel are Rav and Shmuel, because in such a similar case where neither party can take a Shvua, namely that of Yisomim versus Yisomim, nobody gets paid. So over here also, in this case where both parties are chashur al shvua, nobody gets paid. That's the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Seir Shem Bavel. Rabbi Seir Shem Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Seir Shem Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Abba, who holds that if both parties are not able to take a shvua, chazur shvua the mechuyiv la, and mitok shen yachol yishav mishalim. The guy who's moda b'miktsas is really chayiv in the shvua, and if he cannot take the shvua, he's going to have to pay. How do I know that? The ugavra the chot of naschem mechavre. The famous case of ugavra the chot of naschem mechavre of naschem Rabbi Abba. Rabbah, that there was a guy that grabbed a piece of silver from somebody else. Asl kamed Rabbi Ami, the din Torah came in front of Rabbi Ami. At that time, Yosef Rabbi Abba kamei, Rabbi Abba happened to have been sitting in front of Rabbi Ami. It makes it sound like Rabbi Abba was a Talmud of Rabbi Ami, and that's why he was sitting in front of him. Tosus points out that previously Rabbi Ami referred to Rabbi Abba as Rabuseinu Shebe Eretz Yisrael, which certainly makes it sound like it was the opposite relationship in terms of Talmud and Rebbe. So Tosus writes, that's not really such a kasha, because that's the derech of Rebbe sometimes, to refer to his students as Rabuseinu, meaning it's a way of giving kavod to one's Talmidim. So it could be that he was Rebbe referring to his Talmud as Rabuseinu. Tosus says, yeah, but in Bab Metzia Daf Chavdalid, Rabbi Ami came in front of Rabbi Abba to ask him a shayla. So it sounds like he was not his Talmud, right? The Rebbe wouldn't be asking the Talmud a shayla. So Tosus says, yeah, Rabbi Abba was Chavero Shel Rabbi Ami, and that's why Rabbi Ami came to ask him halacha. But after Rabbi Ami became the Rosh, the Dayanim would come in front of him, and therefore Rabbi Abba sat in front of Rabbi Ami. Okay, whatever the relationship was, in this case Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami. The Toveya brought a witness that saw this guy grab the silver from him. So Amalei, in Chatfi v'didi Chatfi. Now the Nitva responded, absolutely right, I'm not contradicting a word that this witness is saying. I did grab it because it's mine, and you had taken it from me previously, so I just took back what's mine. So Amar Rav Ami, Heich Liudayna Dayane Lahaydina. What's a Dayan supposed to do in such a case? Namely, Zil Shalem, should we tell the Nitva that he's got to pay because there's a Chazakah that whatever a person has is really his, and therefore you're not allowed to just go grabbing things claiming that it's yours? It was in his hands, therefore we have a Chazakah that it belonged to him? Well, like a Tresad, we don't have any witnesses. We don't have two witnesses that you ever grabbed it. And even though you admit that you grabbed it, Migo, you have a Migo that shows that says that it's yours, because you would have been Naman to say that you never grabbed it in the first place. So Migo that you could have said you never grabbed it in the first place, you're going to be believed to say that what you grabbed was yours. So we can't make you pay. Niftere, should we say you don't pay? Well, Ika Chatzada, there's Neid Echad that saw that you grabbed it. And if you were to Taina that you didn't grab it at all, you wouldn't have to pay, but you'd have to take a Shavua at least. So now we're just going to believe you, we're just going to potter you, when really you should have had to take a shvua. So what should we say? Namely, Zilishtava. We want to tell him to go take a shvua to be machish his aid, meaning when you have an aid achad kenegdo, you have to take a shvua to contradict the aid. But given the Amar Michtav Chatfi, Havle Kegazlan, how can you take a shvua that once you said Michtav Chatfi that you grabbed it, you're moded to what the aid is saying, so you can't be machish the aid. And it's similar to a Gazlan was possible to take a shvua and call a Torah, that even though he's this person is not able to take a shvua in this case, but not because he's possible the shvua, but because he's not being machish the aid. So you can't say that he should take a shvua that it belongs to him, because that's not the shvua that the Torah is mechayiv him, right? The Torah is only mechayiv you to take a shvua to contradict what the aid is saying, right? The guy would love to come take a shvua that says, yeah, I grabbed it and it's mine, but we can't impose that shvua. That's not the shvua that the Torah imposed. The Torah, when there's Eid Echad Kenegdo, imposes a Shvua to say against the aid. But he's not going to say against the aid. The aid said he grabbed it, and he agrees that he grabbed it. So we're in a bind over here. So I'm like Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Rabbi Ami, have a Mechuyu Shvua. So it turns out that this guy who grabbed the silver is really chayv a shvua, vein yachal shava, but he's not able to take a shvua, not because he's suspect on a shvua, just because he's there's nothing for him to swear. V'kalam achuy shvua vein yachal shava mishalim. And the halach is that anyone who's chayv a shvua and is not able to take a shvua, he's going to have to pay. So you see, Rabbi Ami is the one that holds that when the nitva is not able to take the shvua that he otherwise would have been chayv, he has to pay. And therefore, when they're both chashud, Rabbi Abba is going to be the one that says chazra shvua l'mu, that the shvua goes back to the one who's really chayiv to take the shvua, the real modeh b'miktzas, and since he cannot take that shvua, he's going to have to pay. Ah, so now I see that Rabbi Seder Shebar Yitzchol is Rabbi Abba. So we've now identified the Rabbi Seder Shebavel and Rabbi Seder Shebar Yitzchol. Amar Rav Kavaseh Rabbi Abba Mistavra. It's more Mistavra like Rabbi Abba, that the guy is not able to take the shvua that he's obligated to take, so Memeil is going to have to pay instead. Why? To Tani Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami taught the following. It says in the Pasuk, Shvua Hashem Hashem Tia Bein Shneihem. Bein Shneihem sounds like that if there's something between the Toveya and the Nitva themselves, there's a Chiyuv Shvua. Velo Bein Yorshin. But if the whole discussion, the whole Dinei Mamonos case is between their Yorshin, then there's no Shvua. Say Chidami, what is the case where we say this Miut? Ilema Da Amarle, if we're saying that the Yoresh of the Toveya says to the Yoresh of the Nitva, Manala Ababiyadavicha, I saw that my father gave your father 100 dinar, and since you are his Yoresh, you have to return that 100 dinar. Va'amale, and the Yoresh of the Nitva says, Chamish Nislei, Chamish Nislei, there were 50 dinar that my father in fact owed your father, and I'm willing to pay you back that. But the other 50 dinar, he never owed him, and I'm not willing to pay that back. So Malihu Mali Avua. What difference does it make between whether it's him or his father? He's being Modem Mixas, and just like his father is Modem Mixas, would be Chayiv Shvua, so to the Yoresh is Mechayiv Shvua. Elalav da Amar Le Manala Abba Bi'Alavicha. So no, must be that the case is the Yoresh of the Toveya says your father owes my father $100. Va Amar Le and Amar Le, the Yoresh of the Nitva says Chamishin Yadana, $50. I agree. Chamishin Le Yadana. The other $50, I simply don't know. So $50, I got to pay. The other $50, I don't know. It could be, but I don't know if my father owed that to your father. So even though he's modu b'mitzas, the Torah patters him from Shuas modu b'mitzas because he doesn't need to know whether his father is chayiv the rest of the money. Meaning, if it was the guy himself who's involved in the transaction, what do you mean you don't know? You need to know, but he's not expected to know. He's only the child of the person involved in the transaction. So the raya is as follows: I amru pishlama of ki agavnu mechayiv. If we would assume that the love himself, when he's modu to 50, and he says any other day on the other 50, that he would have to pay because he cannot take a shvus modem mitzvahs, meaning the shvus modem mitzvahs is I don't owe the rest of the money, right? So when someone says eni odeya, he cannot take a shvua that I don't owe the rest of the money. He's eni odeya if he owes the rest of the money. So if you can say that the halacha in that case is that you have to pay because he cannot take the shvua, that's like Rabbi Abba mitok shen yachol yoshav mishalim. So isr kra lemiftar gabe yorshin. So I understand why the Torah has to patter the yorshin from having to make that payment, because without that miut, I would have said what the din is by the father, the din would be with the kids, that the father would have had to pay, so the kids could have to pay. But if you can say a guy who's not able to take a shvua that he's chayef to take is going to be pater anyway, then why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that the kid doesn't have to pay? The father wouldn't have had to pay, so of course the kid's not going to have to pay. So Rav Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel, who disagree and who hold that a person who's not able to be nishba is putter from paying, the Torah does not. So then I don't need the Torah to have a special pasuk to be mema'id yorshim from the Shvua. So what do they do with Shvua Hashem Bein Shneihem if it's not about velo bein yorshim? So mivay lelicha detanya, they use the pasuk for the following: Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, that Shimon ben Tarfon taught Shvua Hashem Tia Bein Shneihem. That the onus for the shvua is on both the nitva who's actually taking the shvua and on the toveya whose business dealings led to such a case where the other party has to take a shvua. Meaning, you got to be careful who you go into business with. So if you're going to have monetary dealings with people that you don't trust, you're partially responsible for the shvua sheker that the other guy takes, because you shouldn't have gotten involved with such a person who's going to take a shvua sheker. Okay, so that is that sugya. So once we mentioned Shimon ben Tarfon and his drasha about shvua Hashem Tia Bein Shneihem, we mentioned a few other things that Shimon ben Tarfon said. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Asara lo okei v'achar noef minayin. How do I know that there's an isser for a person to be someone who brings women to a noef, who sort of makes the shidduch a shadchan for adultery, right? How do I know that such a person is going to be punished? Talmud Omer, because Pasuk says lo tinaf, it means lo tanif. Even if you facilitate niuf, that's also part of the isser in the Torah. So that's one teaching. Another teaching of Shimon ben Tarfon is by the Cheda Meraglim. After the Meraglim said to the Jewish people that the Anshei Aretz are giants and they're so mighty and we're never going to be able to defeat them, so v'tiranu v'tirognu ba'alechem v'tom v'sinus Hashem hotziyosanu v'mitzrayim, etc. So Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, we darshin the phrase v'tirognu Vateragnu, what does it mean? Vateragnu va'alechem, tartem v'ginisem ba'alo shel makom. You scattered out the land and you denigrated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who resides among you, who put his ohel among you. So it's a chutzpah to speak that way against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki'ilu, he can't help you defeat these meraglim. Now the pasuk says, a third teaching of Shem Ben Tarfon, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, after Matan Torah, Pnu usulachem uvo hara emori, vel kol shcheinav v'arav v'harav v'shvel v'negu v'chof v'yam eretz ha'kanan v'al v'anon, Ad Hanahar Hagadol Nahar Paras. So Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, why is Nahar Paras called the Nahar Hagadol? Of the four Naharos that are mentioned in Parshas Bereishis, it happens to be the smallest of the four. So why would it be called Nahar Hagadol? Seems like a funny name for Nahar Paras. So Krav Legabe Dihina V'idhan. Go to a person who's chashuv, who's anointed with oil, and you'll also have oil like him. So over here also, since it mentions Nahar Paras next to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is so chashuv, so we mention Nahar Paras with the Lashon of Chashivus, meaning that anything that's Eretz Yisrael adjacent picks up, Kedusha picks up some of the Chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. So just like when you shake a guy's hand and his hand is full of oil, your hand is now full of oil, right? You get second-hand hand sanitizer, right? When you shake a guy's hand after he just, right? So you pick up the Chashivus of Eretz Yisrael, Nahar Paras. To be Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Evan Melech Kemelech, that they taught that even the Evan of a Melech has certain Chashivus like the Melech. So Nahar Pras is Mishamesh Eretz Yisrael. So those who are in a supporting role of Eretz Yisrael also take on a certain level of chashivus by being able to support Eretz Yisrael, by being the Eved of Eretz Yisrael. So now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Chen V'ni Al Pinkasel is a case where you say, do me a favor, give two saw of chitim to my son, or give my workers some small change, pay them whatever in smaller denominations, and I'll pay you in a larger denomination. And the guy says nasati, and they say no, we never got it. So who nishba v'notel, the heim nishba in v'notlin, right? That's the case, that the balabais is going to be out the money because the chenveni has to get paid, the workers have to get paid. Fine. So Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Tarech Shvu Zulama. Why were the Chama Masake in this takana that the Poelim and the Chenveni take the Shvua? If you make the Poelim and the Chenveni take a Shvua, somebody's going to lie, right? Meaning, if they're both taking a Shvua, then somebody's not telling the truth. So Amar Rebbe Chia Tanina, Shneim Nishma Melotin Mibalabayis. It says in the Mishnah that they both take the Shvua from the Balabayis. So Kibluminei or Lo Kibluminei, was Rebbe Mekabel from Rebbe Chia that answer? And he was maskim that the din is that they're both going to be nishma v'notel, or was he not maskim to that because somebody's lying? So tashma, so we'll bring a raya. The Tanya, we have a brayse as follows: Rebbe Omer Poelim nishma in the chenveni that the Poelim swear to the chenveni that they didn't get money from him. V'emisa, but if you're going to say that Rebbe was mekabel what Rebbe Chia told him, and he holds that they're both nishma v'notel from the balabayis, so the balabayis mi bayalei, then it should have said that they swear the chenveni that the Poelim swear to the Balabayis, because it's the Balabayis is going to be the one that loses out, and that's what they're swearing for, to make him lose out. So from the fact that Rebbe says that the Poelim are nishba'im lechenveni, it's muchach that the chenveni is their baldin, and he's the one that loses out as a result of their shvua. So since the Poelim are the only ones that are nishba v'notel, the chenveni is the one that loses out and apparently does not get paid even with a shvua, because he should have given the money in front of Edim, and by not doing that, he's the one that loses. So you see that he was not Mekabel. So Amar Rava, Rava says it could be that Rebbe really was Mekabel, that which Rebbe Chia said. And he holds that they're both Nishma v'notel. Why does it say that the Poelim are Nishma l'chenveni? Poelim Nishma and the Balabayis b'maim v'chenveni. They take the Shvua to the Balabayis, but the Chenveni's got to be there. It's b'maim v'chenveni. The Chenveni's got to be there, ki echi lichs v'minei. Because the only person that knows whether they're telling the truth or not telling the truth is the Chenveni. He's the only person that actually knows whether what they're saying is truthful or not. So therefore, we want them to suffer a little bit of embarrassment in front of the Chenveni, should they be lying. Hopefully that will discourage them from lying. So Itmar, we had a Machlok Samaraim that relates to our Mishnah. Shteikit Eidim HaMachisha Zo Azo. You have two sets of Eidim that contradict one another about a particular Eidus. Right? One of them says that so-and-so Haragas HaNefesh. The other one said he was not Haragas HaNefesh. Samarav Huna Zobab V'Nasma Mi'ida V'Zobab V'Nasma Mi'ida. In future Eiduyos, each set of Eidim is Neeman to testify in different Eiduyos. Rav Chista Amar Padi Sadi Shakri Lamali. Somebody here is a liar. What do I need to be involved with Shakranim? Even though there's a suffix whether it's about each kas, whether they're puzzle or not, but me suffix, I shouldn't bring people into Beis Din when there's a 50-50 chance that that what they're doing is what they're saying is not truthful. So the Gemara now discusses what exactly is this case where they're arguing. So maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. Maybe we'll pick up with that tomorrow. The discussion of Shnei Kitei Edim HaMachisha Zu'azu. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.